We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
As I tweeted out last night, Bryce Ball, by the end of business today, because there's no baseball going on and the Cubs don't play until tonight, he'll be the most heavily scrutinized single-A first baseman in Cubs history, perhaps, because of the way that we will look at every aspect of his development and projections and what he means to the Cubs moving forward. Even if he may never actually replace Anthony Rizzo, we will talk about him as if he were a potential replacement for Anthony Rizzo. Because that's what we have time to do that.
Is that. Are we wrong? Are we being mean?
Well, I think it's a bit overstating.
Anthony Rizzo sticking around?
I think they're two different things. I'm not sure that Anthony Rizzo is sticking around. Okay. I don't know that he has much trade value to the Cubs. I don't know if there's going to be much interest in Anthony Rizzo.
Wow.
Moving forward, you don't know what his signability will be and if he will want to move on after this season, which could get worse before it gets better. That's that story. This story is the Cubs traded Jock Peterson to try to get something for one of their assets, one of their veterans, because the Braves had a need. And this was a prospect they look at. And he's very high boomer bust reality. He can hit the long ball a mile, enough to get the nickname Ball Bunyan.
Come on. That's outstanding.
But he also strikes out a lot. So it's
He's
the ideal Cub guy, right?
What was the – there was – I laughed out loud. I think it was Jesse Rogers had a line in his story that was something like he quoted someone, and some sort of a talent evaluator who said that he had, you know, great power, but there was a contact issue.
Yeah.
So in other words,
right.
if you put the bat on one, off it goes. But it's that little bit of getting the bat on it that could be the problem.
Which is kind of important in baseball. You know, making contact, it matters. But it does have a swing and miss
bad
habit.
Cubs might be needing to play a little Bryce ball.
Huh? Well, the idea is to fix their broken offense, which has been chronically broken. They need to have more guys who
with a higher contact,
not a higher strikeout
okay,
rate. No,
I'm sorry.
But Bryce Ball is a guy that in 2019 played 62 games for the Atlanta Braves between rookie and single A, and then he got invited to the, you know, remember the big league camp, the summer camp, during the pandemic.
Sure.
Bryce Ball was invited there, and the
better
story.
Than Gavin Sheets, he didn't get invited.
Oh yeah, that's right. But that was important because it motivated
that
him.
That turned him into the man he is today.
But Bryce Ball shows up for that camp as a 24th round draft pick. And according to the story that you referenced in Tommy Burch in the Des Moines Register, the Braves veterans were like, who is this guy? What's he? He looks apart. Well, who is this guy? Is he a first round draft pick? No, 24th round draft pick, $197,000 signing bonus. One of these guys that, you know, you didn't expect to see in a big league camp. And yet there he was. He's taken a few steps back this year, which he's hitting like 207, so not having the greatest season, but still there's some hope in there. The Cubs must have seen something.
312-644-6767, and you implied that Jed now has trade fever.
Well,
by completing one deal that would seemingly he got a taste, and now he's off to the races.
Maybe. I was a little surprised that Jock Peterson was the first guy to go.
Right.
Even though I think we talked yesterday about why teams would be interested in him.
Sure.
I thought it would be a team with more likelihood of being in October. The Braves are only one game better than the Cubs right now, or a half game better. So, yeah. Did you see some of the reports out of Atlanta? He could be moved again. If they determine in the next 2 weeks that they're going to be sellers rather than buyers because they can't make a run, Jock Peterson could be traded again. So I guess
keep him going.
He might not want to unpack yet.
312, you guys should have signed with the Sox. 312-644-6767. Or they might have DFA'd him. All right, we'll get to the phone lines. And David, you know this well. I don't have to repeat it, but I will tell you that the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
And the BetQL Network is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLNetwork.com.
George is in Riverdale. Good morning, George.
Hey, Molly, how you been?
Good, buddy. Good.
I haven't moved. I'm in River Grove.
Oh, River Grove. Riverdale. I beg your pardon.
Close enough.
I just read the screener and I don't think about the person. So
what's up, George?
You can read?
Well, I mean,
way ahead of me, buddy.
Yeah,
way ahead of me.
They make a couple of syllables for me and I pick up the rest.
So you're hooked on phonics, huh?
That's exactly right. Yeah. What do you got this morning, George?
I've just been playing and watching baseball since Jesus died, and I don't get it. I don't know. There's just no explanation for picking the guy that's 12th on the prospect list. I mean, what can you say? I mean, you know, oh, my God, shoot me. You know, and I'm not a Cub fan. I'm a Sox fan. But, you know, you like to see somebody do something smart once in a while. I don't get it. And I know you can't explain it. You can talk about it all day, but.
Thanks, George.
But I understand where he's coming from, just because it sounds bad when you say someone is 12th on the prospect. Couldn't they get a better prospect than that? What you don't know, and I think what you have to keep bear in mind as we see these trades unfold, that this is not an overnight process. This isn't just like, give me any guy in the top 15. Oh, we'll take this. Is you're looking around. You're evaluating another team's prospects. You see something in a guy that you feel that you can work with, that there's an element there that you don't have. We need left-handed power. I don't know what the answer to it is,
well,
but I'm telling you that this is not – they didn't just decide to trade Jock Peterson. Just throw whatever you got. You got a bag of balls. You got a six-pack. Throw in that guy with the cool nickname, Ball Bunyan. I think that they are picking apart other team systems and trying to find a certain profile of player. I'm not saying they're all going to work by any stretch of the imagination, but this is not a one day, one night, one moment. This is evaluating the ins and outs of different organizations and coming up with a list of players that you would take.
And this is a minor deal.
Yeah.
Getting the major treatment because of the way the news cycle is structured right now.
That's exactly right.
And I understand why people would say, well, who's this Class A lefty who,
right,
you know, is boom or bust and strikes out a lot? For Jock Peterson, who I thought was going to replace Kyle Schwarber, it's all natural to have this sort of disappointment. But I would challenge Georgians. It is a smart deal because of what you declared a week ago. If you're not going to compete, if you're not willing to contend, then you have to get what you can out of the assets while you can get that. So Jock Peterson had a market develop because Acuna went down. The Braves were willing to give a prospect. Okay, you can save $3 million, a couple million dollars along the way. This makes sense. That doesn't mean anything about, you know, Bryce Ball's potential as a major leaguer. You're taking a chance. Every prospect is a risk. I don't care what he's rated.
Yeah, and the whole idea of boom or bust – I mean, you're concentrating on the bust aspect of it. Maybe he booms. Who knows? Boom could go the dynamite.
That's what somebody in the Cub organization said last night before they you know, agreed to make this deal official.
Kevin's in Palatine. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. Jock Peterson has a negative 0.2 WAR this year.
Right.
I know George thinks that they traded Fernando Tatis Jr., but we got something. And I am not in, as you guys know, I'm not in the business of giving the Cubs any credit right now, but I mean, it's Jock freaking Peterson. And who knows, that trade might have got him one step closer to being towards the vaccination limit, too, if you look at his social media.
wow.
But I also did want to give the Cubs credit for one thing that they are leading in the league in, and that is devaluing their own assets. You know, I don't like giving Rick Hahn credit, but I will say one thing. The way that dude has set this team up now, they still got to win the World Series for him to be considered what he would be. But the way he has set this team up, giving all these young guys these long contracts so he doesn't have to deal with this nonsense, and then he had two assets that both had tons of years of control, Chris Sale and Quintana, and he screwed the Cubs, and he got great prospects for both those guys because they had years of control. Bryant's at the end now. You're not going to get – I mean, and I love Chris Bryant. I want him to stay. But anyone that thinks you're going to get a top 10 prospect for a guy that has 16 weeks left with this team, you're out of your mind. So the only one they could get a great prospect for is Kimbrel. That's if Hoyer is smart enough to trade him. Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Have a good phone call.
Yeah, he's going to trade him. I don't think there's any other option but trading him. And I think the very fact...
Who, Kimbrel?
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely. Why would you not trade him if you can get something for him? Listen, the Chris Bryant thing, you're running out of time. It is just the reality, David, you mentioned it earlier. You got to ask yourself if you get a compensatory draft pick for him, is that going to be worth more? And again, you got to bring your draft people in. You have to be looking ahead always in baseball and every sport. And you got to know what the class looks like. Are there guys that are at the bottom of the first round, the opening of the second round, which is probably where the pick would be, right? That you feel are going to be better than whatever prospect you can get for Chris Bryant. I don't know that you mentioned it earlier. The White Sox are talking about, you know, who they trade, what they do. They have top 10 prospects in their organization, but they don't have any top 100 prospects because they're all on the major league club.
They're all major leaguers.
Right. So as a result, you know, you're trading, I'll give you my fifth best player. Oh, I'll give you my 12th best player. But that doesn't mean that guy's on the top 100 list. You're not going to get that kind of payoff. It's just not going to work that way.
Yeah. Two things. I think number one, the Chris Bryant discussion, it's a risk reward calculus because you have to weigh the potential of the compensatory draft pick and that ability, the boom or bust potential there with the prospects you might get in return for a rental. And I think recent history will tell you, you're not going to get as much as Cub fans believe you could get for Chris Bryant at this point in time with 2 weeks before the trade deadline. You're more than likely going to get a bunch of prospects that make you say, why did you trade him? It's going to make you madder if you're a Cub fan. It's going to make you more upset that they gave him away because it's going to feel like they gave him away. As far as the White Sox comparison, I think that's a good one because what Rick Hahn has done, as Kevin alluded to, he has made every spot on the roster, every position, he's almost increased in value those players or that position in terms of upgrading the talent level at each spot and throughout the organization. And what the Cubs have done, or at least begun the process of, and I think this Jock Peterson trade, as I mentioned earlier, kind of underscores it, is devalue a position and devalue the roster. And you can feel it kind of coming back down, and it's a depreciation of value. So what once was Kyle Schwarber hitting home runs and becoming a legend and giving you that sort of hope with potential and production became Jock Peterson, which became this minor league first baseman, which may become what? You know,
right. But I mean, look, take off your shoes and socks and do the math. It's not calculus. It's like a very simple little math problem. This guy is under contract for this money for this long, and we're either going to lose him for nothing or we're going to turn him into this probability of nothing. But maybe it's something. And that's the problem. The math is already laid out. We talked about this earlier. This has nothing to do with the emotional connection to any player or how you feel about it. Remember that time he did this. This is all about what are the numbers, what is the time, how much could he help someone, what are they willing to give up for it. It's as simple as that. It's not complicated. It's simple analytics as to the value of the player given the time that he has remaining and what value you can get back. You know, they're not even going to get a top 100 prospect. Of course they're not. They're out of time for that. The time to make these moves was previously, and unfortunately, a pandemic hit, and all of those plans ended up being scuttled. And as you say, it started with giving away players for nothing just to get rid of salary. And now this is the carryover. This is the, you know, getting rid of Jock Peterson is goes back to, as you say, getting rid of Schwarber. As simple as that.
Jock Peterson is, I think, very different than Chris Bryant. I think you're saying that because when you look at Chris Bryant, when the ideal time to trade Chris Bryant was at the point where his trade value wasn't very high because of injuries, because he wasn't producing at the level he is this year. So now the ideal time to trade him isn't now. I mean, you're going to not get as much in return in the final 2 weeks as you would have when you, if you were trading him, if he was playing at a higher level with a year of control contractually. So that's just a fact of life. And that's why I say that the calculus with him is different than with Jock Peterson. They aren't really comparable,
no, except for
they were both on the Cubs payroll.
But I do think that you have to look at Chris Bryant and ask yourself one question. Are we going to get a contract done with this guy? Are we going to pay him? How much are we going to pay him? And what are we going to get done with him? And when you realize what that is, then you got to determine whether you're better off trading him or trying to get a compensatory pick if you're not willing to put out the money. It's as simple as that.
Either
and you're right. The money, it goes back to the money all the time.
Always.
Let's try Josh. Josh is in Huntley. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I just had two questions. If the Sox need to make a move, do you think they need to make a move in the bullpen, or do you think they need to go out and get a second baseman? And this series with Houston, I'm just wondering, how important do you think this is for them? Because, I mean, if they play good against Houston this weekend, I think that they could take it pretty far, and that's the playoff push that they need.
Well,
thanks, Josh.
I mean, look, it's July, okay? So I'm not going to get caught up. If they get swept by Houston, which – believe me, you would hear language in my house.
Could happen.
If that happened. If it did happen, would not change any of the goals and the possibilities that are out there for the White Sox. You're still hoping to get players back. You're still Eloy is on the way. He will be back before the trade deadline. I'm expecting we get some information on Louis Robert fairly soon here and find out a timetable on him. And maybe start his kind of minor league rehab. But I think that more likely than not, you'll get those guys back around the trade deadline, which is like an acquisition. And again, I'm not saying on the day, I'm saying within a couple weeks. So that's kind of some of the thing that I'm thinking about. So they're not at full strength.
Right.
They are. I would get a second baseman. I would definitely get a second baseman because you don't have one of those coming back, and I think that you can use Leury in different ways if you free him up a little bit, and I would also try to get some bullpen help.
I think you should watch this weekend series. You should enjoy it because it's Astros and White Sox are two of the best teams in the American League, but I would say that there's nothing that is going to happen in the next three games that's going to have any impact in October, any carryover. And I think the priority list is second base, bullpen help, backup catcher, and then outfield bat, because I think you're getting reinforcements in the outfield that you can't ignore.
5-0 since Sebi came up.
Is that right?
It's irrelevant, but yes. I mean, it's really...
That's a coincidence.
It's the schedule. Look who you were
That's
playing.
The schedule.
But I nonetheless...
A lot of factors. But if you want to say that he is a 5-0 as a... As
unbeaten
a
since
major
Sebi
leaguer.
Joined
yeah.
the team.
Okay.
All right. So we've got the pick six next. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Pick 6 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick 6 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Just two pitchers and five position players remain from the World Series Cubs. Jake Arrieta, Kyle Hendricks, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Javier Baez, Wilson Contreras, and Jason Hayward. Who will be the last man standing and why?
Wow. I mean, it's hard to believe we're down to seven guys. Does Arrieta count? Because, I think he's the first guy gone. I don't know if he's DFA'd or what happens with him, but he also left. So I don't know that counts, but okay, I'll go with that. I would guess...
The only reason he's here is because he was on the 2016 team.
Well, there you go. I would guess that Kyle Hendricks is probably the last man standing just because of the length of his contract. I don't know about whether or not they're going to get a deal done with Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Javier Baez. Wilson Contreras has a couple years left. Jason Hayward is going to be here till the bitter end, I would imagine. So I'll say it's Kyle Hendricks because you don't want to trade him, and he signed through 24, I believe, and Hayward's only signed through 23, and I think they're not going to give him another deal.
Yeah, I could see that. I think that the guys who are key to keeping are Hendricks, Contreras, and I think Javi Baez will be the guy that is the last one standing from this World Series champion team. I think that he'll go into the offseason. I don't think they're going to be able to trade him. I don't think they're going to try as hard to deal him as they will some other assets before the deadline. And then his price may be more affordable when all is said and done because of the shortstop market in the free agency. So, and a position player tends to last longer than a pitcher like Hendricks, and Wilson Contreras probably will talk his way out of town before all is said and done, whether it's this year, next year, or in the 5 years that follow. But I could see Javi Baez being the last man standing and the last Cub. One day we'll be saying, oh, Javi Baez, he is the only remaining member of the 2016 World Series on this roster.
A pick six to end the half!
In terms of a gamble, which feels like a longer shot at the moment? One of the prospects the Cubs might get in a Chris Bryant trade one day turning into an all-star, or the Cubs being able to re-sign Bryant in free agency if they aren't able to trade him. Face it, both aren't remote scenarios.
They are both remote scenarios, and I think that's the thing that makes it so kind of depressing for Cubs fans, is that they're not going to get back in return what you would want or expect to get back in return for an all-star player that you considered a superstar at different points of his Cubs tenure. But that's just not the way it works anymore. The currency's different and the exchange rate is much different. So I don't know which is greater. I would think that if I'm Jed Hoyer, I really have to be blown away. I have to be blown away by the package for Chris Bryant before July 30th. And if I have to keep him, then I might have a better chance of having a compensatory draft pick or possibly free agency. Maybe it comes back. I don't think with Scott Boras that's more likely to happen. But so that was probably the longer shot than getting one of these guys, young guys, to develop into an all-star player, because maybe they'll make an all-star team one year when somebody, you know, is an alternate or something.
They're not signing Chris Bryant. That would have happened already. I don't think that's happening. I would be stunned if they managed to turn around and get a deal done with him. It just feels like he's got one foot out the door. So I think that means, to me, the question is whether or not you're more likely to draft a guy with a compensatory pick that could turn into an all-star, or try to grab a couple minor leaguers that could someday turn into an all-star. I would err on the side of trading him. I think you might get more value out of a trade than you will with a compensatory pick. It seems like even more of a roll of the dice when you get into that kind of draft stuff. It's just the strike ratio isn't high. The odds are they're not going to be able to replace Chris Bryant in a Chris Bryant trade. Not a chance. But you might get something a little bit more. I would understand you can't trade him. I might make one last pitch on a contract, even if it was below market, and then I trade him.
A pick six of 100 yards!
How surprised were you that the White Sox, with all but probably Lance Lynn available to start, chose Dylan Cease to open up the series Friday against the Astros? Why not Carlos Rodon? Are we already nitpicking the midseason favorite for AL Manager of the Year?
You know, I can understand Rodon didn't pitch in the All-Star game, but he did go there. I mean, he did travel to Houston, and he did not have the weekend off. So it doesn't bother me at all that Lance Lynn or Carlos Rodon aren't the starters. And I don't remember when last we saw the rotation where it picks up, but I got no problem with them rolling Dylan Cease out there. I think that the White Sox have five legitimate starting pitchers, and I like watching Dylan Cease pitch, and I know that he can hit a bad inning, or he started slow in Baltimore and then came back. But I think they're just trying to create. There's got to be a reason behind it. So I'm going with them. I'm trusting in Tony and the White Sox.
Yeah, just a little confused. We had a good conversation with Steve Stone, I think it was on Monday, mm-hmm. and he had said on the last time the Sox played that Dylan Cease pitched, he made a point of wondering aloud if they were going to treat him differently in the second half, conserve his innings, reduce his starts, give him a break, and kind of reflect the fact that this is as big of a workload as he's ever had. And then you see the Sox start him right out of the gate with everyone to choose from. I was a little surprised. I'm not quite sure the rationale. I don't know that I agree with it. I think that if you are looking at staggering and starting your rotation, then you want to get your best guys pitching as often as possible. This, to me, speaks to just how little urgency there is in the Sox season right now and in this series. So there has to be some explanation that Ethan Katz probably came up with and Tony La Russa agreed to. So I'm looking forward to hearing why, because I was under the impression that they were going the other direction and trying to limit his starts.
Pick six! Wow!
Now that the Bears let the deadline pass without signing Allen Robinson to a long-term contract, will Robinson playing on a franchise tag and presumably his last season in Chicago have any impact on how long rookie QB Justin Fields waits to play? In other words, it's Fields more likely to play quicker so the Bears can see what he can do with the number one wide receiver before he's gone.
I would be wondering. I would want to give him every opportunity and chance to succeed with legitimate talent around him. And I would want to know what Justin Fields to Allen Robinson looks like. I would want to know what that does to a defense and how they adjust and adapt and if they do it all and just what your potential is, because I would hate to have Justin Fields start three games and Allen Robinson be out the door and maybe he's injured for one of them and you have them on the field at the same time for two games. I've got to think from a practical perspective, that's got to enter into the equation at some point. You want to get the most out of your young quarterback. Give him everything to maximize that potential, and everything includes Allen Robinson. So maybe it will factor in and seep into the thinking. I don't know. I think at this point, you can't rule out any possibility.
Yeah, I wouldn't let it affect. I think it's a mistake to let that affect how quickly you play Justin Fields. You know, as this is going on increasingly, I just want to see Justin Fields. I'm just anxious to see him, and I get it. You want to start the first game in L.A. with an experienced quarterback, whatever it might be. But let's just get to it. Let's just find out what you got. Let's just get to the season. You know, like everyone else, I'm growing impatient. I think we will see Justin Fields enough with Allen Robinson and everyone else. I have no doubt about that, but I do just want to get to it. I'm pretty much, we haven't even started yet, and I'm already changing my opinion about trying to be patient with the guy. Let's go.
This is Jamal Adams with a block and a pick six.
Are you surprised to learn that Tom Brady's February knee surgery was done to repair a torn MCL? The 43-year-old won the Super Bowl and never appeared with a knee injury on the injury report, despite reportedly suffering the injury while in New England. Does that add to the legacy or make you wonder why Jay Cutler pulled out of an NFC championship?
Wow, that's mean. That's just mean, man. Why you bring it up, Jay Cutler? I think it adds to the legacy of Tom. I think it becomes this kind of amazing part of the story that at his age, he was able to navigate a knee injury. He never appeared on the injured list, which is, I would wonder if I was the NFL, but it never seemed to affect him, right? So I was really surprised to hear the severity of his injury, the knee surgery, and then to learn that he had played without that last year, and it didn't matter to him because he just wanted to win a Super Bowl. It's pretty unbelievable stuff. I worry about Tom's future. He's really letting himself get torn apart here by continuing to play. But God bless him. That's an extraordinary fact to learn yesterday.
Yeah, it enhances his legacy because of not only plays at a high level, but he played through injury to play at that high level. So that just makes the legend greater. If I'm the NFL, though, as much money it changes hands and is at stake when you're talking about what it does to the lines based on injury. Injury reports are there for a reason. You ask these questions for a purpose. It is related to gambling, but the league has embraced all that comes with that. And if that's the case, then you have to get to the bottom of this. You have to figure out why this wasn't on the report. And frankly, you have to be willing to dole out discipline if you find out that Tampa Bay knowingly misled the public about Tom Brady's injury status. There may be compelling reasons to do so, but if you're going to care about injury reports and why they have them, then you've got to get to the bottom of this if you're the league.
It's a pick six!
In a cryptic tweet that actually was pretty easy to understand, Atlanta Hawks star guard Trae Young posted a sad face emoji, an American flag, and a video of Isaiah Thomas discussing his legendary snub of being left off the 1992 U.S. Olympic Dream Team.
I don't know what went into that process. I met the criteria to be selected, but I wasn't.
Sad face emoji indeed. It's a fair question. Why isn't Trae Young on the U.S. Olympic team?
That's a good question. I love Trae Young's creativity. Going the social media route. You know why he's not on the Olympic team? Because Zach LaVine is. I mean, you could make that straight exchange. I think there was some surprise there. When Zach LaVine got the nod, Trae Young didn't. Now it's in question because Bradley Beal is not going to Tokyo because of the COVID protocol and situation, which is unfortunate for Bradley Beal. But if I am the Pop, if I am Jerry Colangelo, I am looking at Trae Young and thinking, okay, this guy's coming off a breakout playoffs. Yes, come on down. Even if you have duplicate at that position, Trae Young belongs on that team.
Yeah, you know, I like Trae Young, and I think they could use him, and Bradley Beal is gone. I don't know. I don't know. I can't answer the question as to why he's not on it. It's not a snub. It's not like Isaiah where, you know, there were players that didn't want him on the team. Simple as that. Now, the guys probably wouldn't have gone to the Dream Team if you're going to have Isaiah on it. There were a lot of personality issues floating around the league in those days. And unfortunately for Isaiah, he wasn't the biggest name guy on that team. And there weren't a ton of people that were backing him up as a snub player. He earned his snub. I don't know that Trey Young has earned his snub. Here's what I know. I'd get the 911. I would get the bat phone. I would call the shoe phone of Steph Curry and tell him, get the hell here now. We need you in Japan. Just whatever it is, get over here. And I would get Steph Curry on that team like yesterday. Why is Steph Curry not involved? That's the guy they need. Trey Young, okay, I would take Trey Young, no question about it. But Steph Curry would be a priority player for me after Bradley Beal's injury.
Appeal to his patriotic duty?
I would just flat out beg him and bribe him and do whatever it took to get that guy on that team. No?
One or the other, I think. Trey Young's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Steph Curry's pretty great.
I don't know if he wants to be there. I don't. At this stage of his career, he's been there and done that. But yeah,
do it again.
If Steph Curry can do that and wants to do that, yeah, I would rather have Steph Curry than almost anybody else.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's my guy. All right, we're gonna bring in Bruce Levine next. We'll talk trade. We'll talk the first domino falling. We'll talk the greatest memories of the Jock Peterson era. Probably had to do with spring training. But the Arizona League champion home run hitter is gone, and we'll ask Bruce about that and what it means. Mully and on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Everything's kind of tied together. It's contagious. So just building on the winning pitches, swinging at good pitches, and the barrels and results will come from putting in the process and all that work. So going to stick to it. And like I said, we're close as a team, and things are going to start clicking.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was the voice of Jock Peterson, and we are pleased now to go out to the Home Run In hotline where we find the Score's baseball expert, Bruce Levine. Good morning, Bruce. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you guys today? Everything good?
Well, Bruce, we should tell you that you should try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more.
I always do.
What do you think of the trade?
Well, can you ask me in a year and a half? I mean, that's when we'll know more about Bryce Ball. I guess the real answer is, let's see the cumulative effect of what Jed Hoyer, the president of baseball operations for the Chicago Cubs, can do over the next 2 weeks. And then we will know more about rating, you know, the players they get. Certainly, you know, they got a big power hitting guy with a very little experience in the minor leagues. And it's going to be difficult to really evaluate this trade until you see more of Ball and see how he progresses. You know, he wasn't the top-rated Atlanta player, but he does represent a big power bat in the Cubs minor league system now, something they could use.
Bruce, it's inevitable that when you get prospects like this, you start to project and look, okay, what position does he play? Well, is he Anthony Rizzo's replacement? Mm-hmm. And then if they trade Chris Bryant or Craig Kimbrell, they'll get some prospects back in return. Mm-hmm. Do the Cubs have a priority list in terms of, you know, what type of prospect they're looking for? Is it all pitching? Is it a certain position they need to shore up it, you know, infield or catching or whatever it may be? Do they have a list of ideas that they want to kind of execute?
Philosophically, they have to, you know, you're trading with one of 29 other teams. So you have to look at their system, see where the strengths are. In other words, when you match up, you know, let's say, you know, they trade Kimbrell and there's four teams out there that's looking at Kimbrell seriously. It just depends on the system and whether that matchup of players includes outfielders, catchers, or pitchers. So when you're trading with a system, I don't think you can just say, well, we need your number two pick because he's a pitcher. I think you get the best prospect available back in trades for your top player. I don't think you can address needs like you do in the draft. I think it's more, let's get this top first baseman, let's get this top catcher, because it's the one that's they're allowing us to acquire back in this trade. So I think a lot of that, you know, certainly you have need, and they have pitching need in their organization, but I think it's best player available on that particular trade.
When we look at this move in terms of larger moves, is there a domino effect? Is this the first of many? Do you have any feel for whether or not once you kind of get into trade mode, you keep going? Or do you think it's a case-by-case basis depending on what you get back?
There's no going back now. I mean, this doesn't guarantee that Baez, Rizzo, and Bryant get traded. But, you know, if you don't get back what you think you should, you know, then you make the qualifying offer and you see what kind of draft pick you get. But from the reality standpoint, there's no going back from this trade, okay? It's not like, you know, they're making room for the absolute next left fielder, the Chicago Cubs, in this trade. This is a trade that signals, you know, you're moving veterans now. You have 2 weeks to do it, and only 2 weeks until next November, because there's no waiver deals anymore in baseball. You can't make those little trades after the trading deadline that used to be made in baseball, because that rule changed a couple years ago. So with that in mind, this is the beginning of, you know, four or five trades that the Cubs should probably make and bring back as many good young players as they can. I don't think it's a fire sale, but I think it's a signal that 2022 and beyond are much more important than right now.
Bruce, you mentioned that you think as many as four teams could show interest in Craig Kimbrel. We have the report about from John Heyman, I think, mentioned the Mets interested potentially in Chris Bryant with multiple other teams. What are you hearing, and are there other teams that you think could sneak up there and make a lot of sense in terms of making a deal?
I think the one team in town today to face the Chicago White Sox is an obvious team that could use Kimbrel to go push themselves over the top and the top teams in the American League. Houston is certainly rated there. The White Sox certainly learned that last time out when they lost four straight in Houston. This is a big series for the White Sox to show, you know, defend home turf in some way, and also show that they're the equal to a very excellent Houston team. So I think Houston and Boston are teams that are looking hard at Kimbrel and certainly could use them to push them over. I mean, it's hard to argue right now that the most dominant closer in baseball since the second half of last year, which was September of last year, is certainly Craig Kimbrel, back to being the Hall of Fame closer he is. And it should bring back, it should net them at least two really good young top players in a certain organization.
You know, Bruce, we look at, you know, Fangraphs and the way that they're giving teams chances to win. You know, they do the whole thing of the playoff projection. And the Indians have a 2.9% chance to win their division. The Cubs have a 2.7% chance to win their division. The Cubs are obviously tied for third place. The Indians are in second place. Do you take that to mean that the Cubs, the Indians should be sellers? And if that is the case, then are the White Sox just playing for home field advantage in the play? Like, what is the priority list in the second half of the season if you've already won the division?
Yeah, I don't think you've won the division yet, but you're clearly, you know, the team that should easily win it without any major injuries. And then I don't think you start building toward a post-game philosophy at this point. But at a certain point, it can be valuable to the Chicago White Sox to be able to back off some of their starting pitchers' innings and skip some of the younger guys to keep their inning load realistic for the projections before the season. You know, guys like Kopech and Crochet, they were going to be limited on what the usage was going to be. Now, I think you can monitor that and make your team a healthier, more essential team going to the toward the playoffs. So I think that type of philosophy going into, you know, September if the White Sox, you know, retain this big lead, I think that's going to be really beneficial for them to, you know, back off some of these starting pitchers. You know, you look at the starting pitching load, and from the get-go, the White Sox starting pitchers were throwing over 100 pitches per game. They can start backing off of that, and you saw that with Cease in the last time out. I think he only threw 85 pitches in five innings. So I think managing the pitching is going to be the key for the White Sox in the second half, and that might be the luxury they have with a big lead. It's hard to imagine them giving up that big lead. You know, stranger things have happened. You know, teams have come on. You can't recognize that team in the American League Central right now, but the Indians should be thinking about 2022 and beyond, not 2021.
As we start the second half tonight, Bruce, how aggressive do you expect Rick Hahn to be as the trade deadline is now 2 weeks away?
You know, I expect him to get a second baseman. I think, you know, they need that. You know, there's no Nick Madrigal that's coming back like Eloy Jimenez is coming back for the White Sox. So the outfield and the projection of some of that power that the White Sox have been missing in the first half is much easier for them to look at rather than the second division. Garcia has been a tremendously important player for the White Sox, but the White Sox are a much stronger team if Garcia is coming off the bench and he's playing 4 or 5 days a week rather than every day. So I think a second baseman, and you know, when you look at Pittsburgh, I think that's still a pretty good matchup for them there with Frazier.
Great stuff, Bruce. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Bruce.
Guys, have a great weekend.
Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, David.
Yep.
312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. Mullion Hall on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.